all about the best of life in Harrogate. This is the Your Harrogate Podcast.
How do? My name is Pete and welcome to another Your Harrogate Podcast. I appreciate you listening. Now, we've got a busy week ahead because from Monday, the 25th of March, we are out and about for the Easter period, taking in places such as Thorpe Perrow Arboretum and also Stockeld Park, where I hear that the staff are ready to challenge us. That could be an interesting one on Tuesday. Also, Flamingoland Resort. And the brand new season begins at Newby Hall and Gardens. Plus, if you listen to Nick Hancock in the morning, he will tell you about a celebrity judge who is coming to Harrogate for this year's dog show that's happening on the 13th of April, all thanks to our friends at Harrogate Bid. Right now, though, the focus turns to football and the Yorkshire Derby on March the 23rd between Harrogate Town and Bradford City. An early kickoff at 1 o'clock, and I've been speaking to central defender Anthony O'Connor, who has been at the club now just over a year. Your
Harrogate. It's been brilliant. Obviously, when I first signed, you know, the club were in a difficult position, and, you know, the gaffer and Thurs, you know, spoke to me and thought I could make a difference and come in. And, you know, I believed in myself and thought that I could as well. Obviously, not all down to me. Obviously, we needed the club needed to bring in some fresh faces as well, some other fresh faces. And, you know, we managed to stay up, which was the goal from January onwards last season. And then this season, we wanted to see how far we could push. Obviously, now still within a chance of getting to the playoffs. So it's been progress and the club are definitely moving forward. So hopefully we can have a strong end to the season and be where we want to be come the end of the season. But in terms of ranking where it is in my career, it's very enjoyable, and I'm really enjoying my football at the minute.
That's good to hear. And the gaffer's been full of praise for you as well, saying that you're one of the best central defenders in League Two. As a player, I've always wondered, how much do you all pay attention to post-match interviews, post-match reports? Because it's everywhere now, isn't it? With social media, it's hard to escape it. Or do you just block it out and just focus on your play?
Yeah, like you said, obviously with so many people on social media these days, it's kind of hard not to see it. But me personally, myself, I'm not on social media, so I don't do social media. I've never really been a fan of it, so I don't really see much. Obviously, I just see snippets or whatever. It could be family members or whatever would show me or whatever it may be. But it's always nice to hear those things as well, but you have to take the good with the bad. It's not always good interviews at times, especially after a defeat or a bad defeat or whatever it may be. So you have to take the good with the bad and try and stay level. I know that I've always tried to do that. I've always not tried to get too high and always tried not to get too low when things are going bad. So I think that stood me in good stead. But yeah, it's, like I said, it's always positive and nice to hear good things about yourself. I mean, I've always believed in myself anyway. I've always believed in my ability ever since I was young. I always knew what I was capable of, and you know, I'm glad that I'm able to show that.
You mentioned the bad there. Obviously, you got to take the rough with the smooth. There's no win for Town since the Colchester match. How much have we all underestimated, if any, the psychological effect that the Mansfield defeat had that night?
No, I wouldn't say it did. I mean, it was obviously, listen, not beating around the bush, obviously it was a very difficult defeat to take, and one no one expected. We didn't expect that. We were coming into the game very confident, you know, in good form, especially our away form as well has been brilliant this season. We're second in the league table for our away form. So, you know, it was definitely a smack in the face that night. Like I said, no one expected it. It was like every chance they had hit the back of the net. And, you know, we were probably went into that game, as I said, we went in confident, but we probably went in probably a bit too confident. I thought we were too open on the night, you know, and that's not what we've been away from home. We've been hard to beat, solid, and, you know, we weren't that night. So, like I said, it was a smack in the face that night and certainly woke us up. But, you know, we showed what we were capable of and the character that we have the week after, going away against the Crew, who were flying high and in the automatic promotion places as well, or maybe just outside in fourth place, and managed to get a nil-nil draw. So I think that just showed the character that we had, and we went, you know, we went there thinking, right, we need to get back to basics now and do what we do well, and managed to get a clean sheet. And the last two away games we've had as well, against Barrow and Wrexham, two clean sheets as well. So, you know, we're always taking positives from the games. It's the fact that we've not been able to score as much this season is, you know, has been one of the reasons why we're probably not higher up on the table. we've not scored enough goals, and that's not me being critical of anyone, you know, just as a whole team in general, we've not contributed to enough goals. So hopefully in the last 7 or 8 games, hopefully we can put the ball in the back of it and obviously keep it out of ours and see where it takes us.
Well, it'd be great if those goals started coming again this weekend in the derby against Bradford City, which is one of your former clubs, a club who you've played the most games for. Looking back at that time with the Bantams, did it all come to a natural end, or did you feel that it was ended too soon?
It was a bit of a strange one. I mean, I was always and ever present in the team. I was captain for a period there. Like I said, always played. Every manager that I played for always took a liking to me and always played me in every game. And then the last season I was there, you know, I ended up getting a couple of Player of the Year awards. And obviously then there was a change in the manager. I knew there was a new manager coming in the following season. And I just got a phone call saying it was down to finances. That's literally the phone call that I got. So it was nothing down, I know for a fact it was nothing down to how I performed or the way I was as a player or as a person around the place or whatever. Because like I said, I picked up 2 Player of the Year awards and had a really strong season personally. But the phone call that I had was saying it was down to finances. So that's part of football, I suppose. That's just what happens in this game. It's a tough business at times, and it's ruthless. So I just took it, and I had to move on.
I think we all underestimate the pressure that's put upon you all at times. And being in a club the size of Bradford, just give us an insight into, because their form isn't great at the moment. So The pressure that must be on their lads, given where they sit in the table and the expectation from the fans, what's it like when the chips are against you in a team like that?
Yeah, it can be difficult. I've been lucky enough in my career to play for some big clubs with big fan bases. I mean, I was up at Aberdeen as well, and then I went to Bradford after that. 2 massive fan bases and two big clubs. And, you know, when the chips are down and things are not going well for you, it's just, you know, the support and everyone around the club will soon let you know. You know, and then it's just up to you as a character and, you know, as a footballer to show what you're made of, really. I mean, it's not always going to be smooth. I mean, you're not always going to have supporters cheering you. You know, when they're not happy, they're going to let you know. And that was certainly the case at times at Bradford. You know, and rightly so, when fans feel like that the effort has not been put in by, you know, the team or certain players, whatever. You know, they're going to voice their opinion. You see that all over the world. You see that in every football club up and down the country. So it can be difficult at times for players, you know, especially, you know, you get different characters in football. You get players that are able to take it and are able to roll their sleeves up and, you know, show what they're made of. And you get players that can go under a little bit or that are maybe not used to that or, you know, never had that before in their career or whatever it may be. So it can be difficult at times, but I suppose that's where it takes the leaders in the group or the characters to pick everyone up around them and roll their sleeves up and like I said, show what you're made of, because at big clubs like those, you know, they expect you to perform every week. And if you're not at your best, they at least expect you to run around and put a shift in. And if you're not doing that, you're soon going to be told.
And just finally, I mean, it's always a great day when there's a derby match taking place. The fans are really up for it. It should be a fantastic atmosphere at the Envira event tomorrow. But given that bad form that Bradford are on, does that give you guys a great opportunity to go at them from the off and to unnerve them and hopefully get that early goal?
Yeah, well, we're going to have a game plan and we're going to have a way of setting out and how we can upset them. And you know, especially at home, you know, we're going to want to take the game to them. But for some reason this season, our home form has not been as good as our away form. So it's important that we don't, you know, just think we're at home now and let's get after them and go gung-ho. Of course, we're going to get after them when it's the right time to get after them. But it's important that we try and stay solid as well and keep the back door shut, which is what, as defenders, is what we're keen to do. Keep the back door shut and you always have a chance of winning games. And then it's down to, you know, the creative players or forward players to hopefully put the ball in the back of the net. But as long as we can keep the back door shut, then, like I said, we're always going to have a chance. Like you said, it's going to be, you know, a good day for the fans, the supporters. It's a derby game. So, yeah, I'm expecting a fiery start to the game. And then, like you said, you know, in an ideal world, hopefully we can get a couple of early goals and settle it right down. But every game in this division is tough. It doesn't matter if you're on a bad run or whatever. All it takes is one game for it to turn around. And we've seen that before with ourselves. You know, if we've been on a bit of a run, you know, we've been on a great run before. And then, like I said, Mansfield, we got a slap in the face. So, you know, every game is tough. It doesn't matter what your form is like. You have to make sure that you bang at it each week to get a positive result.
Big thanks to Anthony O'Connor for taking time out to chat to me for the purpose of this podcast. And of course, it goes without saying, come on town in the Yorkshire Derby against Bradford City. After that match concludes, you might have time to go along and support Knaresborough Town. It's non-league day after all, so it'd be nice to see you at Mans Lane, Knaresborough taking on Thackley, or maybe a short trip from the Envirovent Stadium to Station View at Starbeck. Harrogate Railway are at home against Swallow Ness this weekend, also celebrating non-league day. Next up to the Knaresborough Bed Race, which, yes, isn't happening until June, but for the first time in 4 years, they've been oversubscribed. So this week, a draw took place at the Working Men's Club in Knaresborough. 108 teams need to be whittled down to 90. And we begin our little chat with the chairman of the Lions who lay on the event. Here's Martin Brock.
It's amazing to have the draw actually again. This is the first time since COVID, so it's a first time since 2020. So actually, it's quite exciting. The level of interest has picked up again. It's brilliant to be here. I mean, it's obviously a mixture of sadness for some teams and a mixture of excitement for a lot of teams, but it's just great, the bed race. It's proven so popular still.
Well, given the crowds that it draws, and especially last year when it was absolutely red hot, surely you're not surprised by the interest, or does it surprise you year in, year out?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it is such an iconic event in the Knaresborough calendar. As a runner myself, it doesn't surprise me in the slightest people would want to run around town with the bed and swim across the river, but some people might beg to differ. But I think it is such a fantastic day. You know, we had the weather last year, as you say. You know, we always have a wonderful fancy dress parade that I can fully see why people want to take part. I mean, that's why we get teams come from, you know, not just from Knaresborough, from Harrogate, from Leeds. You know, we even have a team coming from Bedburgh this year. So
yeah, tell us about that, from Germany.
Yes, it's the twin town, Bedburgh, but Knaresborough's twin town, and they have had teams in the past, but previously, because of school exams, they haven't entered the team for a while, but they've actually got an inclusive team run this time. So as I understand, it's people of mixed abilities, I mean, maybe some mild physical disabilities as well. So it's brilliant. They're coming over, and the bed race really allows anyone to run.
And have we got any TV channels from the continent coming back to cover it like last year?
None as yet, but you just never know who comes up in the media stakes. I mean, we're still, you know, fabulous local media, but the appeal does tend to stretch far and wide as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody comes through.
And tell us about the theme this year as well.
So it is great inventions and technology through the ages. So we cast out to the public really, and it was a couple from Somerset who came up with the idea. So it's not just interest, you know, from Knaresborough. We have the event, and I think there's a really vast canvas people can pick from. So we're expecting a wonderful parade, just full of brilliant fancy dress.
Just tell us as well, as a collective, the Lions, how important this event is to you guys, because it's your showpiece, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have to be honest, costs are going up year and year and year, so we tend to make less money from it. But I think from a community-based event, and for the money raised by the teams, money raised by the groups who help us, it's not just our event, it's a Knaresborough Town event, it's a district event, so it's vitally important for the community as a whole. So, it puts us on the map, but it raises a lot of money throughout the HG5 and postcode and beyond.
And just finally, for any team who didn't get drawn out tonight and have missed out and feel that initial disappointment, the message is, it's not over yet.
No, it's... I've looked after teams many times in previous events, and I know from experience we will always get dropouts. You know, unfortunately, teams will pull out through injury. They might not even be able to get a bed. So, it is quite often we get, between 4 and 6 places come up every year. So I would say don't be despondent. We'll contact people who didn't get through when a place comes up, and we'll have another little mini draw as and when's needed. So if you're not down on the list at the moment, it's not necessarily that you won't be on the list for June the 8th.
And for those who have been picked, the hard work starts now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's this weekend, the clocks change. So I think once the night's starting lighter, I think the beds will be hitting the high street. So it's always great to see the teams out training. It's really, you know, it's a sign the event's on its way, and it's Knaresborough's coming alive.
Well, good luck with the rest of the planning, and we'll see you on the day.
Brilliant. No, thanks for all you guys' help as well. It's always appreciated.
This is the Your Harrogate podcast.
So, Terry, tell me about your team, Stray Runners.
Well, we just started up this last September as a group. We're a non-profit making group. All our running groups are for free. We do Couch to 5K. We do what's called Jeffing, 5Ks, 10Ks. Some have been going on to half marathons and marathons a year after doing the Couch to 5K. So we're just a new group that started up. And we've put in for the first time to do on to the bed race. And thankfully, in the last bag, we were first run out. So brilliant news.
Fantastic. And I mean, just tell us about certain members who are in the team and how it works.
Well, we don't know who the team is yet. We've got a bed, but we don't know who the team is yet. We've got a few volunteers, but they haven't tried the course yet, which they're going to be doing. So they'll be training, taking part to see who can make it, who wants to do it, that's more importantly. But we've got plenty of volunteers at the moment.
Are you putting yourself forward?
Definitely not, unless it was on the bed. But I'll be a bit too big for the bed.
So, I mean, obviously it's a fantastic event that draws in thousands from all over the local area and beyond. What will it mean for the cause as well, who you actually run for?
Well, we're running for Martin House Hospice and Active Against Cancer. One of our group has gone through cancer, through prostate, and he's been an inspiration to us all. So that's what we've chosen our charity this year. We've been sponsored by the Coach and Horses in Harrogate, and their charity is the Martin House Hospice. So we're going to split the two lots of money that we get between the two charities.
And then head to the coaching houses after the day to celebrate.
Oh, yes. Well, not for me, unfortunately, because my wife's booked us in for a week away in Wales the day before, so I can't be even marshal it then.
Oh.
But I'm sure I'll celebrate afterwards when I get back.
So, Michelle Bell.
Alex Gavins.
Ladies, Titanators. Tell us about your team.
Well, we're the Titanators. We're a first-time team representing Titan Private Wealth. And, yeah, we're just in it to have a go.
Why did you want to have a go?
I've been itching to do it for years. I think I must be mad, but yeah, I've watched it so many times. How can you not want to be part of it?
So who's the Messi of the team, as it were, the go-to person who's leading the way?
Alex is leading the way.
Well, I'm the one who's spurred the drive to do this in the first place. Yes.
And what was the reaction when you suggested it, Alex?
Sorry, say that one.
What was the reaction when you suggested?
Most people are like, no way in a million years. And then a few people are, yes, I really want to have a go as well. So it's a bit mixed.
So have you already thought about the bed design yet, or is it too early?
Far too early. Yeah, no. That's the worst bit, I think. Running the course is going to be better than designing the bed.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'd be up for designing. Running it, no.
Do you want to design our bed?
No, I'll give it a go, yeah.